What's up, y'all? This is JLP, the host of Mastering Singlehood and Relationships podcast, coming to you with this brand new episode, part 6 of our series, Way to the Promised Journey with God. And tonight's episode, y'all, is titled A Ready Vessel. A Ready Vessel. Now, for those of you who have been tuning in since part 1, thank you so much. I pray that you were greatly encouraged and blessed by the previous 5 parts of our series. And as a matter of fact, if you've been loving this series, please go ahead and leave us a review or a rating on Apple's podcast. And also, don't forget to share it with your loved ones. Share it with those who are in need of encouragement. Share it with those who are in need of a faith boost. Share it with those you know personally that are waiting upon the Lord concerning a promise that the Lord has given them or concerning a request. A prayer request that they've been bringing before the Lord. And so, y'all, tonight's episode is very interesting. I want to go ahead and just pay attention to the Apostle Paul. He will be the biblical figure that I'll be highlighting throughout the episode. And there are a few points that I want to go and address on tonight's episode that is related to, again, the title of tonight's episode, A Ready Vessel. Now, on the way to the promise, right, as we are journeying with God, we know that the journey in itself is a blessing, but it's also it is a process. And it's also that process, too, that oftentimes God uses to prepare us, to get us ready to fulfill the calling, the purpose, and the destiny that he has on our lives. And not only that, but it's the way that God uses to perfect us, the person, to make us ready in order for us to properly store whatever it is that he has for us, in order for us to properly take care as well, whatever blessing that he has in store for us. Now, this is the part that sometimes is dreadful for some people. You desire a thing, right? You desire, for example, let's say you desire to be married one day, or you desire to have a six-figure job, or you desire to be your own boss, to be a businessman, businesswoman, and be able to travel the world anytime you want. You desire all of these things, and all of these things, they're not bad in the end of this of themselves, right? They're good things. They are wonderful things, right? There's nothing wrong for you to desire those things or to have the aspirations. But however, we forget to tell ourselves that we have to be ready for these things. And so many people, they go around in the world, right? They live and they look at social media, they look at the TV, they look at pop culture, entertainment, you know, industry, Hollywood, and they think that they could just attain it without going through a process or without getting themselves ready. And often the same people that, you know, ends up receiving a big blessing or receiving a big break, sometimes not even that long after they received it, it all disappears, or it all goes to waste, or they lose it all, or they even end up being discontent. And they're saying that, my goodness, I was more happy before I became a millionaire, or I was more happy before I got married, you know. And one of the reasons for that is because, again, often people receive certain opportunities, certain blessings before they were prepared to receive them. I'm going to say this again. Often people receive certain blessings, certain opportunities before they were prepared to receive them. And another thing, as believers, sometimes when we see people are, moving forward in life, we in the back of our mind, we tend to believe that it's always God's doing, but sometimes it is not the Lord's doing, especially if that person is not in God's will and does not serve the God of the Bible, which is Yahweh, right? Which is, again, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And as well, sometimes these things happen, you know? The Bible in Ecclesiastes, it says time and chance happen to all men, right? And so some people, just because you see that they're going up the ladder, again, that doesn't mean God is in that thing. It's just, it is what it is. The reason why I bring this up in tonight's episode is because I really want us to desire to be prepared and not just desire the thing, or not just desire the blessing, not just desire the promise. And it's the same with God as well. God desires, yes, to give us the promise. He desires, yes, to see us fulfill our calling. He desires, yes, to give us everything that he has declared to be our portion. But he too also desires for you to be ready. He desired for me to be ready. One of the things that you see concerning God, even in the book of Genesis, is that God always does things in an orderly fashion. and orderly doesn't necessarily equate to being a way that is religious or a way that is boring, a way that is, unattractive. You know, sometimes when people hear orderly or order, they literally jump into conclusion and they think, man, this is religion. This is, you know, boring and stuff. No. When something is orderly, this is another way for you to say that thing, you know, is neatly, right? Organized, or it is, it is clean, right? It is tidy, and so forth. And so, for example, you would not feel comfortable if you were in a place where everything looked chaotic. Many of us, I'd say, if we were in a place that was chaotic, that was filled with so much dirty items, we would feel uncomfortable, right? We would feel like we don't have any peace. We would be anxious and all of these things. Or is it just me? Because I know for me, I cannot be in my room and it look like a hot mess. You know, even if I'm tired, I have to either leave that room and go to a much neater room, a much cleaner room, or go ahead and suck it up, play some good music in the background, and just clean my room in order for me to be able to think straight, right? In order for me to have a creative a day, right? And so God, even in Genesis, you'll see that even again, before he even created Adam and Eve, he made sure that around them, right, was already created, was already, you know, neatly fashioned. Even when it comes to the food that we have, the food that we eat, the vegetables, right, the fruits, all of them are covered. You know, I'd say all of what God created, he covered it. There was a covering over it. You don't see the banana without the banana peel, right? You don't see, it's anything. The coconut without the hard shell around it. Everything that he made, he covered it. He protected it. He made sure that it was neatly fashioned and so forth. And so this is what he wants for us. He wants for us as people to be, again, ready to be at our highest peak when it comes to his will for our lives, not when it comes to the modern way of describing what somebody's highest peak or perfection when it comes to the modern world or when it comes to our human understanding. But it has to go based on what God's word says concerning perfection or what God says concerning readiness. Because at times we may think that we're ready, but if we go before the Lord and we ask God if we're ready, he's going to tell us, no, you're not ready. And on tonight's episode, I'm going to go ahead and share with you one way that you can, in fact, see that you are ready. And what are the things that do show us, you know, that does show, excuse me, that we are ready or we need to be better prepared or more prepared. And so the main point, again, unpeeling the layers, and we're focusing on Apostle Paul. And as I said, during your leisure time, go ahead and read Acts chapter 6 all the way to Acts chapter 9. But for this episode, I will be focusing on Acts chapter 7 to 9. I'm going to get some scriptures from those passages. And so very briefly, I want to just go ahead and give you an overview concerning Paul. So Paul, again, he is a Jew. He was well versed in the law. But however, Paul wasn't a part of that group that were being discipled by the apostles, just as Apostle Peter and Apostle John. He was, like, literally, you can say, an extremist to an extent, because again, he was so pro-law that he ended up not having a relationship with Jesus. Like, he didn't believe in Jesus the way you saw Apostle Peter and John and all the other apostles who knew the Lord believed in Jesus. And so he had the thinking, the same type of thinking like the Pharisees. And so Paul, he was, again, persecuting the real believers. He was persecuting those who were proclaiming Christ, those who were proclaiming the kingdom message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so even when you read Acts chapter 7 and 8, you'll see when they were against Stephen, as some people pronounce his name, that Paul, he even approved of his killing. My goodness, he even approved of his killing. And so that gets you saying, how can somebody who believes in God right, be a murderer, or who believes in God is so arrogant and prideful and doesn't seem to demonstrate any form of love, rather, especially agape love, right? And so that is something, all right. And then, however, if you go ahead and read Acts chapter 7 and you scroll down to verse 60, listen to what Stephen says here. He says, well, the scripture tells us, this is what he said. Then he fell on his knees and cried out, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. When he had said this, he fell asleep. And so this is Acts chapter 7, verse 60. Literally, when you turn the page and the page turns to Acts chapter 8, right? It says, this is what it says. It says, Acts 8 verse 1, and Saul approved of their killing him. Now, this Saul is, again, is the Apostle Paul before he became Paul the Apostle. It says that he approved of their killing of Stephen, right? But one thing that I want to go ahead and just mention to you is that, isn't it interesting that before Stephen ended up dying, he literally said to God, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. My goodness. And then who the Lord chooses, right, to now become one of the main apostles that we know even to this time is Paul the Apostle, the literal person who approved to kill Stephen. That speaks volume to me. And so I just wanted to go ahead and highlight this as well, as we're talking about, you know, removing the layers, right? The main point, unpeeling the layers. And so we see Paul. Before he was Paul, he was Saul, and he literally approved for Stephen to be killed. Stephen was someone who was completely devoted to Jesus and his teachings. The scriptures tell us he was filled with the Holy Spirit, like he was the wise man. And he also knew the law, but he knew the law from the lens of the Holy Spirit and the lens of love, the love of Christ. And so here now you see Paul ends up being chosen by God to go to the Gentiles to proclaim Christ. And you will see that Paul, even to a certain degree, suffered more than all of the apostles combined. And I believe one of the reason being is because, again, prior to him accepting Jesus, he even said it himself. He said he was the worst of sinners because, again, he was literally killing and persecuting the Lord's people, innocent people that were doing the will of God. And so this speaks volume to me because it shows you how this person was completely, again, prideful, completely unloving. And you see, he becomes one of the most humble people, right? He becomes one of the most humble people that the Lord uses in order to display his glory on the earth, right? And so this is the same with us. Before Paul could be able to use mightily by God, God purposely allowed him to go through a process in order to unpeel those layers. What are those layers? It was his pride. It was, again, his unloving nature. There was such a level of bitterness within Paul because, again, no one who had the true love of God would literally persecute his people. And this is why when he was stopping his way to Damascus, that's literally what Jesus said to him. Paul, why are you persecuting me? Because when it comes to the body of Christ, you know, God sees us as his literal body. Jesus sees us as his body. And so when he sees his people being persecuted, it is he who is being persecuted, right? And so it's the same way to where Jesus said, you know, if he sent someone, right, to a place to proclaim him or to proclaim his truth and they reject that person, it is not the person that they're rejecting. It is Jesus Christ himself that they are rejecting. And so you will notice as you're reading, again, as I've mentioned, if you read Acts chapter 6 to 9, you'll see Paul went through this process where, again, he had to, God himself, through the process that he made Paul undergo, had to unpeel those layers, had to remove his pride, had to remove his bitterness, had to remove maybe even a level of jealousy maybe he had, right? And so all of these things had to be removed in order for him to have been made a ready vessel, one that God could use as an instrument to proclaim his truth to the Gentiles. And it's because of Paul that many of us, we are aware of these teachings today because the Holy Spirit used him to write the majority of the New testament. Amen. And so I want you to go ahead and just, you know, take that in mind. You know, there are certain things that you are going through right now. It may not feel comfortable, but truly in the end, it is all working out for your good. And I know for many of us, we've heard this before, but truly it will. Truly it will. There are certain things about us. It is not to say that, again, you know, it is not to say that you are a bad person, meaning like you're not one that, you know, have the thought of killing somebody. You are not in jail, right, for a crime. You didn't murder somebody. But there are certain things about us that in God's eyes that still doesn't make the cut, right? And so some of us, it may be shyness, right? It may be timidity. Others of you, it may be that you always want to be in a crowd. You never want to stand out. But God's will is for you to stand out. God doesn't want you to be in a crowd. And so that in itself is a type of layer that the Lord is wanting to peel away from you in order for you to be ready now to be an instrument that he can use to proclaim his truth, to proclaim whatever it is that he wants you to proclaim. And so we see many people in scripture went through that process. Again, as I've mentioned, we see Paul went through this process. We even see Moses went through this process. Even though scripture, right, tells us of Moses that he was the most humblest man, but prior, before he began to be the prophet that the Lord used to deliver his people out of Egypt, Moses became a murderer. He killed somebody. And so literally God had to place even Moses in the process in order for Moses to produce self-control, in order for him to properly manage God's people, to properly lead God's people out of slavery. Amen. And so, again, wherever you are, just write that. To be a ready vessel, the Lord himself will unpeel the layers. Some of us, again, like I said, we have different layers. For you, perhaps it's shyness. For another person, it perhaps it is pride. For another person, it perhaps is unbelief. And so God will literally put you in situations where, even though perhaps you struggle with double-mindedness, but he will put you in a situation where you have to, he's going to allow you to humble yourself just so you can pray to him and ask him to increase your faith. Amen. Just so you can, again, be about his word, you know, meditate on his word day and night. As scripture tells us, you know, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. Another point I want to go ahead and quickly address on tonight's episode is this. You know, literally God is wanting to reveal the core of your being. Who are you to the core? Who are you to the core? Years ago, we released a podcast episode titled Surface versus Core. And one of the things that I strongly mentioned in that episode is that, again, you know, God wants us to be authentic, genuine. There are many individuals in this lifetime, they're living at a surface level, but God wants us to be all in, right? God wants us to not just be away with this group of people, but then with another group of people, you're another way, right? The Bible tells us that God himself, he doesn't like favoritism. He doesn't like prejudice. He doesn't like when one person is being mistreated and then another person is being treated well. He wants us to show the same measure of compassion with everyone, right? And so God is wanting you to live a full life, and he wants for your core to be pure, to be like gold, to be like silver. And so literally God at times will cause us to go through long periods of waiting just to see how our behavior is going to be towards him and other people. Is your behavior going to be one that will continue to worship God in the waiting? Or is your behavior going to be like one that says, you know what, I'm leaving the faith. I'm leaving the Christian faith, and I'll go ahead and just follow another God, or I'll become an atheist because God didn't give me what I wanted. God didn't give me what I asked. I asked for this for 5 years, for 8 years, for 10 years, and he still has not answered. Or are you going to be someone like Abraham that said, I'll continue to hope beyond hope because I know my God, he is going to bring his promise to pass, right? Because God is not a man to lie. And God's own word is his seal. God's own word is his seal. And so if he said it, he will do it. Amen. And so God is wanting you to be a ready vessel. So literally, God is wanting to make you unstoppable, unbreakable. God wants for you to receive value from him and not in something else and not in someone else. Many people, God in his mercy and his grace gives them a good blessing, you know, answered their prayers. And then right after God answered their prayers, they completely forgot about God because now they're completely invested in that blessing and they receive all of their worth and their value within that blessing. But God doesn't want that to be the case for you. God doesn't want that to be the case for me. God wants me to know that at the end of the day, my value and worth comes from him. My peace and my joy comes from him. Yes, someone could be an addition, right, to my life. Someone could be an addition to your life. Someone could be the reason why you, again, you smile more, you laugh more. But at the end of the day, they are not your source of, they're not the one that is the originator of your joy. They're not the one that is the originator of your freedom, your peace. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And so it is very important for us to understand that the time of preparedness, right, or preparation is not to make you suffer or make you grumpy. It's not to make you complacent. It's not to make you feel lesser than, because, again, you're seeing people accelerating in life. You're seeing people, you know, having the same things that you've been believing for, that you've been praying for, that you've been waiting on. But it's literally God in his mercy is making sure that you are ready, and that once you are ready, he knows that you will properly handle and take care of whatever it is that you've been believing for him to do in your life. Because God will never give us something and then we ourselves were not prepared. Because God, again, doesn't like disorder. God doesn't like injustice. For example, even when it comes to the context of marriage, let's go straight to it now. Let's talk about marriage for a little bit. I'm going to ask you a question. And I know that you can't give me a response, but you're more than welcome to give me the response via the Apple Podcast or via our Facebook, JLP Network, or on Instagram. It's _JLP. Do you think it's fair, for example, let's say that this woman ends up getting married and this is something that she's always wanted to do. But however, she has low self-esteem. She's insecure and she doesn't really seem to care about other people unless that person is wanting to do something in order for her things to get done or so forth. So basically, you can say this person is a self-centered person. The world revolves around her. Does it make sense for the Lord to, you know, cause her to be married and then she ends up being in this marriage and then here's the husband that she's married to ends up being literally, you can say, a servant to her? And it's not to say for us to not be servants to one another, because God, he tells us to serve. God wants us to serve. That is a trait of a disciple of Jesus Christ, of a Christian. But however, oftentimes you will see in our everyday life, many marriages ends up in divorce and separation due to that reason. It is not because, again, it was never God's intention for these two people to be in divorce. But however, God, he allows us to have free will. And God, at times, he will answer our prayers even before we get ready for them. But however, it's still up to us to be able to make that sacrifice and to be able to, again, humble ourselves and say, let me, in fact, do what it is that I know that I'm ought to do. I know that I'm supposed to be caring towards my husband, respectful towards my husband, and vice versa. Let me do this. But if I just choose daily to be hostile towards that person and to want to create strife with that person, then as a result, I'm going to have a broken marriage. I'm going to have a dysfunctional life, right? And so God, in his very nature, he doesn't want to give us something that's going to end up to be our poison, or he doesn't want us, especially when it comes to another human being, he doesn't want us to begin to cause this person to have disorder in their lives when, in fact, before we were present in their lives, they had complete peace. And so this is what I wanted to go ahead and just share on tonight's episode as well, because it's very important for us to understand the reasons of being prepared, of getting ready, and how come God himself sometimes causes our waiting process to be longer than expected. Another thing that I want to go ahead and share with you is this. One of the reasons why at times God will allow us to have this journey on the way to the promise, and God will allow us to just have a longer waiting period to receive a thing, is because God wants us to have a heaven's perspective while we're living on earth. God wants us to have a heaven's perspective while we're living on earth, meaning just like we read in the book of Ephesians, right? It says to us, right, that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, literally meaning that, you know, our awareness in this life should not just be for this life, right? Our goals and dreams and aspirations should not just be for this life, but it should be what it is that we want the Lord to say of us when we get to heaven, when he judges us on judgment day. Do we want him to say, well done, my good and faithful servant? Or do we want to hear him say, you could have done more for me, but you wasted your time on earthly pleasures. You know, you spend more time going to vacations than you spend time praying for my people. Then you spend time, again, giving of your talents and your gifts in order to, again, bring more people to my kingdom and so forth. And so this is not to say, again, like God doesn't want us to have a joyful and you know, a beautiful life here. He is not saying that God doesn't want you to have a great time with your loved ones and so forth. But God doesn't want for us to lose sight on what matters most. What matters most at the end of the day, y'all, is in fact living on earth as if we were in heaven. And so that means for our mindset to be the mindset of Christ, and for us to have the mindset that everything that we have and will ever have is because we want to have it in order to use it for the glory of God and for the fulfillment of his overall purpose and the advancement of his kingdom. And so you will notice many people in the Bible, even as we're speaking about Paul, before he had that encounter with Jesus, before he became Paul the Apostle, what was his focus? His focus was just persecuting God's people. His focus was just being well-versed in the law. His focus was just being a big name with the other crowds of Pharisees, those who were top, right, in that region, concerning their prestige, concerning their status. His focus was not whether God was, pleased with him, whether Jesus was pleased with him, whether he was helping to build the church of God. That was not Paul's focus. And so many times God is wanting to see where our focus is at. And so literally many times God will purposely put us in tests, right? He will literally cause us to have seasons of testing just so he can see whether our focus is upon him and his kingdom or our focus is upon ourselves and our own kingdom. And when it came to the case of Paul, you see a complete 360 was done in his life. Prior, his focus was just on himself, was just on persecuting God's people. And later on, as he again began to follow Jesus Christ, his complete focus was on the Lord and doing his will. As a matter of fact, you even see Paul was just so devoted to God that he didn't even have the desire to be married. He had the desire to just be a single forever because he was just so, again, devoted to the Lord and wanting to fulfill the calling that God has on his life without distractions. Amen. Another thing that I want to go ahead and address on tonight's episode is this. One of the ways that you can see that you are ready is, in fact, is answered for us in a way when it comes to what Paul has to say from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. So go ahead and open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. I'm going to go ahead and read it, and we're just going to go ahead and dialogue from there to discuss the scriptures. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ." Verse 2. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. Verse 3. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? I want to go ahead and just break it down. I want us to really pay attention to what it is that he is highlighting to us. As a matter of fact, I want you to go ahead and highlight wherever you see worldly is being stated in these three verses that we discuss. And so in verse 1, you see Paul is saying that he could not address them, right, as people living by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants. And then in verse 2, he says, in the latter portion, he says, for you were not ready, right? Indeed, you are still not ready. I'm going to pause right there. So literally reading these scriptures from what Paul says here, it gives us a hint, right? It gives us an idea. It gives us a measurement, right? Or a measure of our readiness, or how to properly measure our readiness as individuals to go from a different level to another level, or even when it comes to what it is that we're wanting to receive from God. And so you will notice that Paul here is showing that they weren't ready because why? They were still worldly. In this context, when he says they're still worldly, meaning that their focus was still the focus on whatever was the focus on the people in the world focus, right? In addition as well, maybe they were still again participating in sins, right? They weren't living completely surrendered to the Holy Spirit. And so they were still indulging in their own fleshly desires. But I want you to pay attention that it could be both. Because some of us, perhaps we are not indulging in sin. Perhaps we, you know, perhaps we are, you know, loving towards the Lord. We desire to please God. But however, maybe our focus is still on the affairs of this world. What do I mean by that? Are you spending more time on social media than you're reading your scriptures, the scriptures? Are you spending more time on, you know, even the blessing that you desire more than wanting to build up God's kingdom, right? All of these things are important for you to see as a way to measure your readiness. Amen. And so behavior, what is your behavior in this current season of life? How has been your behavior for the past seasons of your life? Have you been one to humble yourself as quickly as possible and ask God to give you further instructions and guidance on the way to the promise? Or have you been one to completely go ahead and say, woe me? Or you say, what is wrong with my life? How come this never happens for me? How come that never happens for me? How come this is happening for this person, et cetera, et cetera? And so this is what we need to you know, clarify for ourselves. What is my behavior in this season? Am I still choosing to bring God's glory despite the waiting, despite not knowing the next step? Am I choosing to still, you know, continue to increase my faith by standing upon the word of God and knowing that God is not a man that he shall lie, that whatever he's declared for my life will come to pass? Or am I, again, entertaining double-mindedness, again, just because I see the very word that God declared has not come to pass yet? And so how do you know that you're ready for the thing? Or how do you know that you're ready for the next level? Because again, your focus is on the Lord. Your focus is on the affairs of God. And you are more like the Spirit of Christ, right? And you're more like Christ himself than you are like the world. You're more interested on how God's kingdom will advance because of the fact of this blessing that you're believing for, rather than how much this blessing can make you look better amongst your peers. Amen. My goodness, y'all. Another thing that I want to go ahead and address on tonight's episode is coming from this scripture. And it's coming from Proverbs 20, verse 21. And I believe I already mentioned it a little bit, but I'm going to go ahead and just read it. All these scriptures, I'm going to go ahead and just, as well, leave the biblical references for you underneath the description of this episode. And so if you have your Bible, please go ahead and open it to Proverbs 20, verse 21. And this is what it says, y'all. An inheritance claimed too soon will not be blessed at the end. I'm going to repeat it again. An inheritance claimed too soon will not be blessed at the end. Now, y'all, you will notice that anything that has much value is what? It's expensive. You have to pay more money for it, right? And one of the reasons is because it took more time for that thing to have been produced, right? Another thing as well, you will notice what was worth the wait, whether it be a great dinner that you ate in a restaurant or whether it be even when it comes to, you know, like for us who are believers, many of us, because we fear the Lord and we desire to please God, we have made this vow to the Lord that we will wait until marriage, right, to have sexual intimacy with our future partner. You will notice that you will find it more valuable now when you're with that person in the context of marriage, right, to partake in that prior than when you were just, again, just dating just any random person and giving yourself away to that person, right? Many people end up not seeing the real value of this gift that the Lord gave to us because, again, they don't wait to experience it. They just go ahead and give it to anybody that they want to give it to, right? And so it is the same what this context, right, what this scripture is saying in this context. An inheritance claimed too soon will not be blessed at the end because, again, that person does not have the discipline, does not have the maturity, and does not have the right mindset to be able to uphold that inheritance, to better store it or manage that inheritance. And we see this all the time, too, when it comes to those who are very, you know, wealthy and then they have their children, you know, take over for them, whether that be a successful business that they had, you know, and so forth. But then that the children or the child that ends up taking that position that they had or taking that enterprise that they had, they were very immature. Their character was not completely mature to a point where they could have access to all these riches. And then guess what? They end up just wasting all of the money. They end up making the business go into bankruptcy and so forth like that. And so it's the same as well when it comes to the journey of life. When it comes to our journey to receiving God's will for us, God, again, is wanting for you to be highly ready for it because he does not want you to destroy it as soon as you receive it. And this is concerning anything. It's concerning marriage. It's concerning even parenthood. God doesn't want you, you know, to go into parenthood as if like you're not ready to raise a child. I'm not saying that we're all going to be completely 100% perfect and know all the answers, but God still wants you to go into that season, whether it's marriage, whether it's parenthood, filled with what? Godliness, filled with love, filled with selflessness in order for you to properly take care of that child. Sadly, many times we hear in the news, you know, a mother ends up murdering her own children or a mother ends up getting, you know, arrested because they left their child in the car and they completely forgot the child was in the car. You know, so they get arrested because of negligence and so forth. So that's the same thing with God. God does not want us to be negligent, right? God does not want us to, again, not have the wisdom to know how to take care of a thing. He wants us to do everything in an orderly fashion, and he wants us to be able to enjoy our blessings and not cause our own blessings to suffocate us or we to suffocate or destroy our own blessings. One more scripture that I want to go ahead and highlight to you is coming from Proverbs. Well, actually, two more scriptures, if that's all right with you all. I want to go ahead and read Proverbs 25, verse 2. And then we're going to close out this episode with Proverbs 19, verse 2. So Proverbs 25, verse 2, this is what it says. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, to search out a matter is the glory of kings. And the reason why I wanted to go ahead and share the scripture is because, again, some of you are saying, but JLP, I've done everything that I know to do. I do feel ready. I feel that my behavior is godly. I feel that I have been very much so patient and using my time diligently to build God's kingdom, to be obedient to the Lord. I am doing all that I can to be selfless and not just think about myself, but seeing how I can, you know, help those in my community and so forth. I don't really know exactly what it is that I'm missing. How come I've done everything that, you know, I know to do, but yet I still have not received the promise. I still have not received my inheritance. And I still find myself in the same level, in the same predicament year after year. This scripture is one of the perfect scriptures that I will go ahead and encourage you to meditate on and to go before the Lord with. Again, I'm going to read it to you. Proverbs 25 verse 2. It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, to search out a matter is the glory of kings. If there is just something you just do not know why you're still not seeing any result, despite, you know, making sure that you are in right standing with God, you are, again, growing in your faith, growing in the word, bring it to God. Say, Lord, is this something that I'm doing that's wrong? Is it a sin that I didn't repent for? Is it something that someone in my family is doing? You know, and God is faithful to reveal it to you. If it's because you are underprepared, God is faithful to show that to you as well. If it is something that is more spiritual, whether, again, it is an attack on you as a person, on your destiny, the devil is using certain things to cause you to be delayed, he will reveal it to you as well. Just as we've shared already in a previous episode, this correlates as well to Jeremiah 3. It just correlates to Jeremiah 3 verse 33 as well. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. And so some people, when they read those two scriptures, they'll say, it sounds like God is contradicting himself. No, he's not. God wants you to search out the matter by going to him. And so he conceals it. There are certain things that God doesn't completely show to you unless you seek him for the answer. And so it's the same when it comes to whatever it is that you're desiring, whatever it is that you're believing for. And lastly, I want to go ahead and read Proverbs chapter 19, verse 2, and as well as, excuse me, and as well as this scripture as well. I'm going to go ahead and see where I left the highlighted scripture, because this is a powerful scripture and it truly culminates tonight's episode perfectly. Pray that you guys have been enjoying this episode so far. I know that I've been blessed so far. And again, I'm just believing alongside you for God to continue to do the very things that he said he would do for your life. All right, here it goes. Let's go ahead and read it. So even before we go ahead and read the Proverbs, right? Proverbs, excuse me. Even before we go ahead and read Proverbs 19 verse 2, let's go ahead and read Proverbs 17 verse 3. This is a scripture that really culminates tonight's episode. And this is what it says, y'all. The crucible is for silver and the furnace is for gold, and the Lord tests hearts. I'm going to repeat it again. And I'm reading this particular scripture from the English Standard Version. The crucible is for silver and the furnace is for gold, and the Lord tests hearts. And the reason why I wanted to go ahead and read the scripture is to let you know that in everything, before God gives you a thing, a blessing, before God allows you to go from glory to glory, before God even causes you to step into the fullness of the calling that he has on your life, he will test your heart. He will test your heart to see what is in it. Is he in it? Is godliness in it? Is truth in it? Or is, again, you know, it's shallow in it, right? It's greed in it, it's selfishness in it. And the more as you see you grow in God, you will notice your heart as well will be filled with the traits, his traits, or the gifts of the Spirit. And I'm telling you, if you see that, right, if you see the evidence of his fruit in your life, and for some odd reason you're still not seeing breakthrough, or you're still not seeing the fulfillment of his word, my friend, just remain ready and just worship him and continue to do what you're doing. Keep going. I truly believe this is what God is saying in the spirit, especially for those of you, you know, this is you. Keep going Keep going. Know this is just a test of your faith. Keep going. God is making you ready. And perhaps for many of you, you are ready. So just keep going until you see the manifestation of the promise in your life. And as we close out, I'm going to go ahead and read Proverbs. This proverb, I've shared it before in a previous episode, but I want to go ahead and share it again. Proverbs 19:2, it says, desire without knowledge is not good. How much more will hasty feet miss the way? And so again, I just wanted to address this as well, as it as well relates to Proverbs 20 verse 21, which says, an inherited claim too soon will not be blessed at the end. In the end, it is always God's will for you to receive his very best. It is always God's will as well for you to have it for a very long time. God doesn't want you to receive something good and then it tragically gets slipped out of your hands for whatever reason. He wants you to have a long-lasting blessing, a long-lasting breakthrough, a long-lasting restoration. And the same with Paul. We see this in his life. Yes, he was a persecutor of the people of God in the beginning. Yes, afterwards, he went through many trials. But this trial became like a crucible for him, just as we've read in that scripture, right? In Proverbs chapter 17, just as we just read. Even though he went through those trials, but those trials made him become a silver or gold in the eyes of God, right? And it's the same with us. Your trials, this waiting season, is making you become a silver gold in the eyes of God. This fire, this trial, this waiting process, it will not compare to what's on the other side. And despite Paul's trials, on the other side is that he continued to fight the good fight of faith. And he received the crown of life. He received his inheritance in Christ Jesus. And those wonderful words from the Lord himself. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And so at the end of the day, that is my prayer for all of us. Is that beyond even receiving the blessing in this life, is that we will receive the crown of life from Jesus Christ himself, saying, well done, my good and faithful servant. This was a long episode, y'all. But I truly pray and believe that it will encourage you. It will bless you. And make sure you stay tuned for next week as we wrap up this series with part 7, Way to the Promise, Journey with God. And remember, all things are possible in Christ Jesus. Until next time, peace out. Take care.